From the heart of Europe to the world, Radio Tetris International. Online on Windows 8 PC, tablets and Windows phones.
Welcome to Postcard from Pop Bread on a gloriously sunny day at the base of the glorious Tatry Mountains in the town of Pop Bread, which is why we call it Postcard from Pop Bread. With me, Eric Wiltshire, who is all jet-setty and stuff, and I'm being a lovey today because I've just been down to the telly studios. Don't know why, but again, I've got great face for radio. Over on the zit of the nose of Europe, it is none other than the art connoisseur of the world, Lee Banks.
That's me, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much for that introduction. I would just like to say, when Eric is bragging about the fact he's just got back from the TV studios, after I finish this show, I'm going to my art gallery to be interviewed and photoshopped and called and everything.
Photoshopped, yeah, very much
yeah,
so.
Yeah, no, it's the police have got my photo and somebody's shot me.
No, they're more likely to be photoshopping the zits off of your nose. or something like that. Down in the depths of Darwin, where nobody lives, it's Rachel Brunsdon.
Thank you very much. And directly after this show, I'll be wringing the sweat out of every article of clothing and scrubbing the mould off the walls because it's horrendously humid. And don't come to Darwin. It is awful.
Darwin.
Mm-hmm.
I like that.
That's what
Rachel,
our great name
Rachel,
is.
Rachel, I am living on the edge here. I am on the edge. This could
yes.
be... It's several times I've been on the edge recently, and this is one Ooh. Of them. How's
Ooh.
The car going?
Ooh.
Oh, I shouldn't have asked.
It's a tragic story.
Oh,
it's
wait.
A tragic story. She's got it back.
Oh,
or she's going to get it back.
It's not... Unfortunately, it wasn't destroyed and written off. We are going to get it back, but it's going to take 6 weeks to repair, even though it's only cosmetic damage.
Oh,
I don't own a double-decker bus. I don't understand why it's going to take so long. As I said to the repairer, are you fashioning it out of gold and chocolate? Why is it?
What,
and why in Darwin? It would melt anyway. So this is a pointless
exercise. Whoa. That sounds extreme to me. Who's the ruddy insurance company that are being numpties?
Allianz.
Allianz, I know them. We've dealt with them in the past. That's with the Z, isn't it?
Yes.
Yep, and their commercials here. Yeah, somebody's having a disaster. Like, in fact, in one of them, a lady drops a tray of paint. She's painting a wall, and she drops a tray of paint, a blue paint, on her dog, and she looks at him. She goes, and people have these disasters, and goes, and they're all and then they ring up the insurance company, and they go And the person at the end of the phone, the customer circus person at the end of the phone says, Allianz Insurance, that's right.
That's a really good advert for them, considering you're not very friendly with them.
Come on, Allianz, yes. down in Australia, get your act together.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's come on.
They're going to rebuild the bodywork on the car. That's almost the most expensive way they could do it. Your car must be worth a fortune.
I'll tell you what.
Be happy to spend $2,000 or $3,000 on it.
I'll tell you what,
Lee. $44,000 vehicle. It's
that's why then.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I've
got to catch, excuse me, buses. I have to take public transport in a town where it is very, very unreliable.
Not good. Lee,
yes?
I feel a telephone doorstep coming on.
A telephone doorstep?
Yeah.
It's just like the sandwiches I've had for my breakfast.
Yes, that works, doesn't it?
I'll do it. I've got no problem.
Right, okay. We'll do that then, Rach. We'll go and moan at them.
Yes, and tell them for just at least one more week, give me back that rental car.
There's nothing like abusing position. To the guys at Talk Radio X, Replay Radio, Absinthe, and Breeze, and everywhere else that knows me. Or as the young lady says, all the apps along the world that can listen to us. This is your alternative look at the news, your sideways look at the news, and we don't like aliens. Because they're rubbish.
No,
don't like
don't.
Them. Don't like them.
Allianz, but we have done a 5-minute advert for them.
No, we haven't. We're
going to
do.
Yeah,
right.
Really awful.
Oh, you can't say that. That's terrible.
Why?
Oh, because it might not be really awful. They might just have made a bit of a mistake.
Didn't they sponsor?
It might be really good everywhere.
They used
else.
To sponsor Manchester United, didn't they?
Did they?
But they
and
did.
Do you know who does now?
With the Glover family.
I don't know.
DHL sponsor now.
Do
and
they?
Also a bunch of F1 and life-saving people.
Right, that was a good advert for them as well.
This is what you should say then, is
what?
Don't let them F1 over.
Very droll.
Very rude. I'm very sorry. That's on the Jeremy Clarkson level, isn't it? I'm so sorry. Okay. I apologise.
No,
I have to go on Twitter.
I'm going to shout at somebody about Mr. Clarkson. I really am.
I am as well.
Yeah. Anyway, moving along. This is such tragic news because I actually think this guy was brilliant. The young Bob Hoskins has died at the age of 71 after time in hospital with pneumonia. And that is just so tragic. A genuine, ordinary guy, great actor, and probably one of the only actors we've ever mentioned on this programme where I've seen his movies.
It's funny, you know, the day I woke up to this news with the time difference, and the day before I was watching a film which I really, really like called Michael. And right. John Travolta's in it, William Hurt's in it, Andy McDowell's in it, but we'll go past that. And Bob Hoskins is in it, and he plays this horrendous news editor for this rag of a newspaper, and he did it brilliantly. And I was so bereft when, really, really sad when I discovered that he had passed away. He was so good. He was just the most lovely, lovely, lovely actor, and he seemed like, I mean, clearly I'd never met him, but he seemed like a genuinely nice guy.
And a quick apology if you heard that, ladies and gentlemen, that was a Harley Davidson going by RTI Towers, because it's so blinking hot here today that I've got the windows open.
Sorry. You're just making it up. That's it, making it up. That was
it's Petra riding around the office.
That's probably more like it.
Look, but, so just on Bob Hoskins, I just wanted to say, there's this fabulous quote off Bob himself where he says, and I think he was exaggerating here, he said he was 5'6" tall, which I don't think he was. He said, I'm 5'6" tall with a face like a damaged potato. I'm not exactly Sean Connery, am I?
Well...
That's really good. That's the deprecating humour of the man, isn't it?
Well, I was going to say, I resemble that remark.
Yeah, but he had all his own hair.
Yeah. Oh, stop it! At least I don't look like... I'm not going there. The sad news for the Geldof family this week has been confirmed, and very likely, as the coroner's put it, that Peaches Geldof died with an overdose of heroin, which likely contributed to her death. And that's really sad for Sir Bob and everybody else. And my heart just goes out to the bloke, considering all the work he's done.
It's a horrible legacy, isn't it? It's a terrible legacy with her mother passing away the way she did. And I saw some really hateful things on social media today about, you know, using drugs deserve to die, that kind of thing.
No.
It turned my stomach. I really thought, do you know what? That is just ignorance at its height.
It is.
And people who want to troll them, you know, go take up sketching or something. Get off social media.
Yeah, go and do origami or something. Yeah.
See, it's something else. Just get off social. Leave them alone.
Anyway.
It's the drama of this story, though, isn't it? You know, it's an absolute tragedy, and she was beautiful. Even I have to admit she was beautiful, or she was far too young for me. But it's like, you know, when you think what happened, and now what's really sad about it is that the agony of this isn't over, because there's now a criminal inquiry into where she actually got the heroin from and how it was administered to her and everything. Her boyfriend's been dragged into it, although, you know, no charges have been made, but he's been taken into custody and questioned. And so it's the ramifications of this death, just like Paula Yates's, it's just endless. Tragedy.
Well, let's just hope they catch the people who supplied the drugs, because that would be a good thing. Absolutely good thing.
Yeah.
We're going down to Australia now, because News Corp are really excited this week. They've got 200,000 digital subscribers.
That's great. You know, it's so funny.
What?
I'm going to do it right now, because they really grind my gears. Well, no, they don't, because first of all, I've got no car, and B, it's not a manual. When you go to links of these publications that belong to News Corp, they let you read a teensy little bit, and then if you want to read any further, you must subscribe. You've got to get your credit card out and you must subscribe.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I think that is kind of, wrong. Because
why?
Because
why?
I think it's it's wrong. I just think it's wrong. They let you read three sentences.
Well, why should they let you read it for nothing?
Because it's the internet.
Why is everybody else allowed to make money on the internet?
Lee, calm down. Let me just ask.
If they let you read two or three or four paragraphs and let you get the gist of the story,
right.
At least tease me into wanting to. Don't go.
Right.
The other day,
right. Right. When you're with your iSheep devices, you read the synopsis of a book, which you then have to buy.
Perfect.
Do you argue?
No.
Because I don't buy books.
And also, Rach,
buy books at a bookstore, like where they belong. I don't like either.
When you see a newspaper and it's got a headline of three words on it, that is there to make you want to buy the paper to read the story. So all they're doing is exactly what they've always done for hundreds of years.
They've got to pick better words. Because the three words they use...
Well, that's because they haven't got Lee G. Banks doing it.
Exactly. I used to work for News Corp. I worked on the Sun.
NT News, as I've said, is the parody of news in the Northern Territory. And the front page story, and it took the entire page, was that there is a lack of flip-flops, which is the state shoe of Darwin.
No, you've got to say, because this is like sellotape.
If you got my knife.
No, this is like sellotape, Lee, in Australia, where it has a different trade name.
I know this. I have a song for it.
Right, well, we don't need the song, thank you. but what do you call flip-flops in Australia, Rach?
Thongs.
Disgusting. Yeah, below the belt. Terrible.
If you tried to wear our thongs as you would your thongs, it'd be so uncomfortable. And I don't actually know the logistics of how it could be done, but nonetheless, this was the front page story.
Wow.
And because it's a funny, good story.
It's entertaining.
The NT News are very, very deliberate about their parodies that they put on the front page because it's tabloid journalism. On the inside of the paper, there's the serious news.
Yeah.
But because only three people live here, no one cares. So they have to put this really cool story on the front to get you to read the pages in the middle.
Can we take it from this that you don't like newspapers?
No, that's not true. I do like newspapers, but I like the feel of a newspaper in my hand. I don't like electronic newspapers.
Well, that's all right then. Go and get one from Sharp. Or?
Well, I can't get the real ones in Darwin. They only sell the rag.
Ah, so you...
I just defend News Corp.
What?
Look at me like that over the head.
are you feeling all right?
News Corp in Australia, right, is the biggest publisher in Australia. And do you know it sells 10.4 million newspapers in Australia alone?
Right.
I really hate Rupert Murdoch. I really hate him, and he's a right wing.
I'm sure he's quite complimentary about you as well.
He's a nice man.
He's all right, actually. He's a fool. Both Eric and I met him. He's a nice man.
He's very funny.
He's an idiot, and he supports the right wing government.
Eric, give her a cyber punch.
he's all right. If you want something, I can share this story now because we wouldn't at the time.
Yeah,
but we can now because it's so far back. And one thing that Rupert Murdoch did in B Sky B in the UK is if any of his siblings were going to work in there, he made them work all everywhere. The whole shooting match.
And, doesn't make him nice.
And
it makes him professional, but it doesn't make him nice.
And it makes it a bit cruel.
Yeah, and he laughed at the dinner.
Seen him whip people.
Excuse me, I'm just name dropping it. And he was telling this story at a luncheon sort of thing that some of us people went to. And the question was asked him, so who's the best person on the call centre when somebody wants to cancel their subscription? And he said, the worst one is Liz.
Yeah.
What? Yeah, Liz is terrible. She just says, oh, I'll give you a free year then. And apparently that's what she used to do to everybody. So not exactly.
I love Liz. I do as well. I love Liz's and guts.
and actually, Liz is a very, very, very nice person to meet. And I think that sometimes the fact that Mr. Murdoch doesn't come out of his shell, doesn't sue people, because you've never heard of him suing anybody at all.
He has got the time. It's a waste of time, generally, isn't it?
Yep.
You know, he's too busy being sued and fending off pies and, you know, stuff.
No.
See, the thing is, you've got to look at the fact that he has, under his belt, I can't remember the exact figure, but I think it's about 120 newspapers worldwide.
Mm. His pants must be massive, because that's a lot of newspapers.
Well, he's quite little. He's little.
Well, that's
stuffing all those newspapers down your pants. I mean,
it's all right if you're in the park.
Yeah,
but it's he is berated all the time for what happens in his newspapers. Now he has editors on those newspapers, and a newspaper editor can make one mistake a year or one mistake every 5 years. But if you multiply that by 120 newspapers, that's 120 mistakes a year, which are all being laid at the foot of Mr. Murdoch, and he hasn't actually done it.
It's not only that. There was, and I remember somebody who has since then worked for Mr. Murdoch, who jokingly said, what's behind a satellite dish in the UK? Answer, a council house. He also said, if you want to invest, he was very derogatory, not defamatory, but derogatory, about anybody investing in B Sky B because it was going to fold and it was going to die and it was going to do this and going to do that. In actual fact, the main innovator in the UK in that area is B Sky B, which, as we know, is predominantly run by Rupert. So far from being the negative person, he's been driving customer choice, for goodness sake.
He's too old to drive. They've taken his license away. I've got a problem with his gene pool, though. His son Lachlan married an Australian model who's now known as Sarah Murdoch, and she used to host a program called, and you guys have it over there, but you don't have our version. We do. Australia's Next Top Moron. I mean, model.
Yeah.
And
but they're all as bad all over the world. They're all rubbish.
When she was hosting the grand final, she announced the wrong winner. And they've had children.
That made the news everywhere. Oh, what?
It was hilarious. So the Murdochs are in fine shape.
Oh, well, that's all right then, isn't it? Don't worry about it. Talking of somebody who's not quite such in good shape these days is Nigel Farage,
he's a moron.
I didn't say it. Anyway, that's Rachel's view. All postcards to Darwin, Australia.
Excuse me, I support exactly what she just said.
We talked about this last week. We had a big Farage.
Yeah, I know you did. I was listening. But the funny thing is that all of a sudden it's turning, isn't it? The once darling of people seems to now not be quite such a darling. And this week he was it by an egg. Thrown dutifully. And then what did he do? He left the rally of supporters.
Girl.
And climbed into his car.
Well, that's how they
scraped it off his suit and cooked it.
That's why the joke in all the press is, what came first, the chicken or the egg? Because he wouldn't, the day before or a few days before, he wouldn't talk in somewhere in Wales in case he got beaten up. So that was the chicken. Now came the egg. But the thing is with Nigel Farage, I spent all last week calling him Nicholas as well, is that the danger of him is phenomenal. And because we're building up to the European elections, everywhere you go now in Britain, you see Vote UKIP posters, particularly in the area where I am, which is farming, and farmers are rich and farmers are that. Farmers are shooting themselves in the foot on that, and they shouldn't be so stupid. They use all this foreign labour from Eastern and Central Europe on their farms and pay them a pittance and let them live in caravans. Are so stupid that they're asking for them to be stopped coming in. Ludicrous.
Uncle Lee, you reminded me of something I've forgotten.
Go on, then.
I did get a message via Bratislava from the Electoral Commission in the UK, reminding all expats around the world, and we have a lot of them listen, to actually go and register for the elections and do it now so you are registered, and or register and have a family member in the UK vote for you under a proxy. So you can still influence the votes, you are entitled to. So the Electoral Commission said, please go to their site, get yourself registered, and you can vote even though you're an expat or overseas at the time. So do go.
The thing about voting is we have compulsory voting in Australia. You get fined if you don't.
That is disgusting.
Yeah, I agree.
But my Robbie, he bucks the system and refuses to enrol to vote, yet he moans about politics. Now, I said to him, now, listen here.
Oh, no, he can't do that.
Yes, you can.
No, he can't.
As soon as I uttered those words, he left the room. So I was talking to myself anyway, but I said to myself, unless you vote, you don't have a right to moan about politics.
Correct.
Yes, you do.
Because
you've thrown your voice away.
No, kept your voice. You've held on to what is inherently yours, which was something that was given to you by the country. And if there isn't a party you wish to vote for, and so you would be actually bastardising your vote. That's a proper word, not a swear word, Jeremy Clarkson word. You would be bastardising your vote by throwing it away on somebody you didn't respect or really want to vote for. That is the complete antipathy of what democracy is about. I have never voted because I've never trusted anybody I've met in power, and I keep my vote close to my heart, and I have a right then to do that and explain to people in my political rants of why I do that.
Mm-hmm. When I voted, because we have to, and I don't want to get fined, I don't want to get fined a lot of money for not doing it, I went into the little booth, and you can informally vote. You can write nothing on the ticket and just, you know.
Pointless.
Do you know what I did?
Pointless.
I thought, no, I'm going to be creative. So I drew a unicorn relieving himself. That's what I drew.
That's a good... Well, even that, you see, that's good. That's it. That is a political comment and should be made.
I wanted the unicorn, the passing of whatever unicorn to be the Prime Minister, because he was better than any other choice.
Anyway, enough of that.
Can I just mention something about Nigel Farage?
Goodness
Nicholas Farage.
Yeah, that Nicholas Farage.
Yeah.
Who has no pants on, yeah. You've got to look at it this way, right? And this is true. Actually, what the people, I've forgotten the bloke's name, but whoever it was who smashed an egg over his head did not realise that actually he has confirmed Nigel Farage's place in the political history of Britain.
Yes,
all
yes.
Its leaders have been egged over the last 500 years.
Yep, there you go.
But how many times have we seen the footage of Hillary Clinton ducking a shoe in the last couple of weeks?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, it just makes them more famous.
On. Let's move on, boys, because we've still got loads to get through. There's been a...
Did you say boys?
Or guys, then.
He did.
Guys.
I'll do. Just call me Richard for the rest of the show. Yeah.
Just call me Dolores.
No, I'd rather not.
You do sometimes.
Yeah, that's when I'm totally frustrated with your technology skills.
Oh, that would be horrible.
Anyway, there's a spat in the UK of which I'm going to side on Jeremy Clarkson's side with this one.
And so am I.
Because... according to a newspaper which will remain nameless, why should they get any free plugs?
It's their story, because we're using their story on our show. They came up with the story. Why can't we say who we nicked it off?
Because they came up with the story.
Yeah.
Story.
So it wasn't true.
Story.
Of course it's true.
No.
It's absolutely true. Even he admits it's true.
Now, he admits that during filming, something he tried not to say using an old nursery rhyme might have slipped out. But that's nothing to do with it, because the people working on the production team should have removed that word anyway, or done what we can do with stuff here, which I can do in 2 seconds, and bleep Lee out or fade him down or whatever.
Thank you very much.
And stop the word going out.
Exactly.
Now, so it's not his fault anyway.
He shouldn't have said it in the first place.
But the,
he should have been professional enough to think, I better not say that word.
Right, so okay, Lee.
I won't pretend not to say it. I'll use another word.
Lee, this is an old nursery rhyme, yeah?
And I'm supposed to be defending him.
This is an old nursery rhyme.
Yeah, I was going to say, what's
happened? I'm going to keep going on. Old nursery rhyme, which are in books, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, agreed?
Yeah.
Now, agreed. I know it. Yeah. I grew up with it.
Yep. Me too. Now, you go to an antiques fair or a boot sale or whatever, and in there is the book that carries that child's nursery rhyme.
Yep. Uh-huh.
You don't blacken it out. You don't...
Oh!
You do not... No.
You meant to say cover it up, didn't you?
With a big pen, you do not blacken it out. There's nothing wrong with what I said. Because it's part of the book. So why do you do that? And the second point I would like to make is how come all these black rappers can use the exact same word? I know they're trying to take the word back and make it positive. I understand that. But it's all right for them to do it, but not all right for anybody else.
They are African Americans. That's why.
I think, but I agree with you. You know, you see, I am the world's worst, I suppose, for taking the mickey out of people, and I take the mickey out. I invent things about Eric. I just like he doesn't have a comb over, and he's not immensely fat, and things like that. I just have a go at him, and I do the same with Rachel. Yes. I take the mickey out of Rachel. She doesn't wear hot pants. She wears none at all.
Yes,
I just do, and I do never, and I've never seen if it isn't meant in an offensive or a racist way. Why you can't comment on the colour of somebody's skin? We are all of God. We're all God's children. We all are the same, but we have differences. And those are fair things to do. Well, the reason I was going to defend Jeremy Clarkson is because I think what he did was just a bit of a mistake. Like you say, that word in that poem has been around for decades, probably 150 years, and it's something that everybody knows. What I'd now say against Jeremy Clarkson is that as the highest paid man on the BBC, that he should have the professionalism to have thought, I better unsay this, and then not to mess about and pretend to not say it. And so everybody, but the people who put the piece out, instead of just dumping it and getting rid of it, who actually let the tape out into the public domain, should be sacked, hung, drawn and quartered.
I couldn't agree with you more. Absolutely.
I think the buck stops with them. The buck should stop with them.
Absolutely.
But I think this is actually part of the reason, this is more of, he makes a mistake, but he makes them all the time. Because let's face it, he's a moron. But,
well, we've got to go. Jeremy.
Five people. I'm not sorry. Come and get me, Jeremy.
I'm going to say sorry again because we've got to finish. That's the end of part one. So according to Rachel, you're not a nice person, Jeremy. But Lee and I like you.
We love you.
From the heart of Europe to the world, Radio Tetris International. Online on Windows 8 PC, tablets and Windows phones. R-T-I-S.